Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Yerk, we got a beautiful day behind us. It looks like, is it coming to an end or just beginning in the background here today?
I think that is just beginning.
That's a just beginning day there.
That's sunrise.
We got some construction happening over here, so if you hear any noise, that's from that. So stay tuned.
September morn.
I'm not mad at it. We got a lot to get into on today's episode, Yerk.
I hope so. Both teams, baseball teams, are 0-1. Congratulations to the hot start for our baseball team.
You went baseball. That is not where I went.
Well, I didn't, only because it was opening day yesterday.
Illinois won, though.
And both teams lost. Yes, congratulations. Illinois won. Fighting a line out now. They seemed poised yesterday, very poised. They didn't play a perfect game, but they found a way to beat a Iowa State Cyclones team that looked like their pants were on fire and their arms were screwed on backwards. So they found a way to beat a team that was very beatable against them. I don't know what they thought they were doing.
The offense looks completely different yesterday. It looked discombobulated.
For me, the defense, you got one of the best defenses in the league, right? In the college
the
basketball.
The best defense in college basketball.
And yet there were, you move the ball against one of those teams, and all of a sudden you go down low, and the guy's sitting there all by himself ready to dunk the ball. So, and they made key three-pointers when they had to, and they made them in streaks, and they never allowed, when it was 51-49, they had an open bucket where they're going for the layup.
Oh, and he smoked the layup.
And the guy misses the layup.
Oh, my God.
If you can get it 51-51, the psychological damage you'd be doing to the Fighting Illini would be immense. But every time they got close, the Fighting Illini spread it out by about another 6-7 points. And they never got close enough to really get any damage. It was within four. And how many lazy passes that were going directly across court were being made by Iowa State, where Shannon just found a way to pick them off and go down for an easy bucket. It was beyond the point of being ridiculous. For an Illini fan, congratulations. I'm sure you're happy. But if you're an Iowa State fan, boy, another tournament disappointed where you're a second seed. You've been top three seed a number of different times, and all you do is crap the bet.
Yeah. I appreciate you crapping the bet.
That's
Let's
me
keep
breaking
that up.
It down. You know,
let's keep that up.
I love college basketball, and I love football.
I thought that game really Illinois kind of almost gave it away. You know what I mean? A lot of missed free throws. Way too many missed free throws. Got to clean that up.
Yep.
You can't miss that many going up against UConn. But I'll tell you this. I think that this Illinois team can score with the best of them. I think Terrence Shannon is a bona fide NBA player. And when you have that on your team, it makes a big difference when you're going up against college guys.
They're two different teams, one without Shannon and one with Shannon.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
I was scared last night when he went out with four.
Remarkably different.
Oh, my
remarkably God. Different team. So, yeah, and I would be a little bit afraid. But the problem is you've got one NBA player on Fighting Illini. I think Connecticut has two, maybe three NBA players.
You don't think Coleman Hawkins NBA?
Who?
Coleman Hawkins?
No.
No? Not a...
No, not Shannon. Listen,
6'11".
You look at Shannon play.
No, he's an NBA player.
And you
easily.
Look at him and say, oh, my heavens, his game transfers over. And it's instantaneous, right?
I feel that way about Hawkins defensively, though. I thought he did a lot of good things defensively.
We see how that worked here for Chicago when they drafted some defensive minded individuals. Pat Williams.
He's
been a disappointment. He's come here to shut people down.
He's
a disappointment.
Yeah, it's not good. That is what we call in the industry a bust. There, Yerko. Oh, you got to get the logo out there. Should we talk a little Bears football here today, Yerk?
Mm-hmm.
Might as well talk a little bit of Bears football.
Yeah, whatever you like.
You put the mic down and pick the coffee.
I know, but I got to turn that so I can get the Dunkin' up front. You know, sponsorship opportunities are right around the corner.
Well, we got a couple on here, Yerk. We got to let people know that, this episode also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean?
Well, I mean, they don't provide coffee for me.
They do not provide coffee for us, Yerk. Is there a coffee option at the Hard Rock Casino? You've said the restaurant is phenomenal.
I was there, Council Oaks. I was there last week when you guys were doing your reporting.
Yeah.
You went on the emergency podcast.
Yes.
It was me, Johnny Handsome, that was with partners at the casino.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I was doing last week. I was at the casino with partners, sharing some time. So I thought about going outside and giving an emergency news conference out in front of the casino. But I decided against that.
You should have stood right in front of the highway because it's Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, yep. right off of I-80, 94. You should have stood right in front of it. But like, Yerk, what are your thoughts on this? You give us that little delay.
Oh, right. And then I'd come back right to you.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat. I'm here at the beautiful Hard Rock Casino, Northwest Indiana. And wow, what news. Yeah, that's it. Like an old Fahey Flynn.
Yeah. There's always that delay, too. Yeah. How is it 2024 and we haven't fixed the delay yet? Why is there still the delay here?
Because satellite, if you're ever on a satellite, that satellite's always going to be there. It cannot be instantaneous. Yeah. It cannot be seamless unless you're on an ISDN line. And if you're on an ISDN line, that means you're hardwired in. Anything that's got to travel over the air, not through a wire, it cannot be instantaneous because it takes time.
We cover everything.
There's always going
to
be a delay.
I dare you to say that there's another Chicago sports show covering
everything. It's great to see our producers, Nick and Eric here.
Big shout out to Nick.
Yeah, Nick and Eric.
Big shout out to Eric. What do you think of Nick's shoes right now?
They're sharp.
Phenomenal shoes.
I'll tell you. they're not new.
You can never forget them.
We won't be reselling those anytime soon.
You can never forget.
You know, that shoe market, the basketball shoe market, big. Big. I never realized how big it is.
Really?
Big.
Oh, I'm surprised you're not into it. You know
where?
Where a great way to do like the flips is if you hit some of those pawn shops. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people down on their luck. They know they can get a little scratch for some Jordans.
Yeah.
You go in there right after and like boom.
Some Yeezys.
Yeah. I've seen some Yeezys in there.
Some prototypes.
A little flip
from Kentucky.
Okay.
Oh yeah, all types of stuff.
Okay,
you
know a little shoe game out here.
Oh yeah. You've been watching a lot of videos. And then I watched some basketball shoe videos.
Hey, yo, all right. So I want to ask you this. You're talking Bears here a little bit.
Where are my teeth?
Talking a little bit of Bears here.
Bears. I'm ready to talk Bears.
Straight into
Let's do it.
Our Toyota Road to the Draft moment here because this is a draft question. Toyota, let's go places. Have the Chicago Bears put themselves in a position where they have to take a wide receiver because of the Keenan Allen trade, where if you don't have somebody coming up through the pipeline, you traded a fourth-round pick.
Right.
You don't have somebody that's coming up next. You're in a tough position because you got to pay Keenan Allen next year. And does that kind of change how you view maybe – the trade getting done if you don't add at the wide receiver?
I don't think the Bears are in any position to have to take a wide receiver at number 9. If a wide receiver is available at number 9, Romeo Dunze happens to slip to number 9, I think the Bears take Romeo Dunze. If all three wide receivers are gone, your option then is Joe Alt will be gone. Your option is to take the second tackle or get a pass rusher opposite of Montez Sweat. To get a guy opposite Montez Sweat. So could you get the first guy, maybe a Jared Verse, or are your options then to trade out of 9 and maybe get a little bit more draft equity, draft capital, I should say. And if you get more draft capital, then you can make a move for that pass rusher. And then in the second round, maybe address the wide receiver position. Or depending upon what happens with the center from Oregon, if he slips out of the first round, might be a chance for you to really solidify that center position. So that's how I see it.
Do you feel like you're in a tough spot here, though, if you don't add to the wide receiver
room? No, I don't.
And you've got to pay 32-year-old Keenan Allen, and now he gets to dictate how much he's worth because he knows you don't have another option.
No, I mean, you've got Scott that's there who they think they draft in the fourth
Young
round.
Young fellow from last year. Yep,
if he learns how to stay on the ground and catch the ball, it'll be an absolute pleasure.
Well, catching the ball would be nice.
Well, the problem is he wants to jump. You don't have to jump.
Yeah.
You don't have to jump to get the football. You can stay on the ground and catch football. It's okay. If the ball's thrown at the height of your head, doesn't mean you have to jump to catch it in your chest. It means you have to put your hands out and just grab the ball and bring it in. You score a touchdown. When you jump, then you know certain things can happen to you. You get hit, you get bumped before the catch is secured, and you end up going out of bounds. I think that happened to him one time this year.
Yeah.
Stay on the ground, make the catches. I don't think they're hamstringed at the receiver position. They brought him in, and his number, Keenan Allen's number, is less because all that signing bonus money disappeared, all that other money disappeared.
Right.
So it's less for the Bears, but will they have to make a decision? Well, you got to make a decision on a 32-year-old guy. no matter what, at the end of the year.
That you've given up a good draft pick
you,
for them.
Fourth rounder. Right.
Fourth rounder. Solid pick. You probably could have found somebody there.
Right. Caleb Williams. They wanted to give him two legitimate wide receivers.
I'm here for that.
And I think they know that Romeo Odunze is going to be gone. So they'll address the receiver position later is what I have a feeling. So
a little Brendan
pass
Rice
rusher.
Action, maybe?
I think we're getting a pass rusher. Who?
A little Brendan Rice action. That was Caleb Williams' wide receiver in college. I mean, I believe seven touchdowns for Brendan Rice last year.
As long as he's, you know, if it's second-round receiver, and we've seen receivers
He might be third. He might be a third-round guy. Slip that far.
But listen, that's fine. Yeah. Wherever he ends up falling, I just want a guy that, just because you're comfortable with your guy doesn't necessarily mean you're of the ilk to play in the NFL. And I haven't seen him play. I don't know. I'm just saying wherever you find a guy, take the best guy.
Yeah.
That's all I'm looking for. Yeah, I want the best guy. So it's not complicated for me. Wherever you go up and down the lineup, take the best guy that you think is going to be there. That way, if you want to move off of Keenan, what if you bring two guys in here and you come out and these guys are smoking? Well, you got the option, if somebody has wide receivers problems, take Keenan Allen and move.
Right.
Right? If you've got guys that develop who are young, we had Andre Rison in Jacksonville.
Uh-huh.
They thought we needed a veteran wide receiver. We bring Andre Rison in. We got Keenan McCardle and we got Jimmy Smith. We had Willie Jackson from Florida. And we had Reggie Barlow, a youngster out of West Virginia. All these guys were young. Jimmy wasn't playing because Andre Rison was playing.
Right.
Keenan wasn't playing because Andre Rison was playing, so they were switching Keenan in and out. Well, Keenan and Jimmy Smith became the best duo Jacksonville's ever had at the wide receiver position.
Right.
You know, those two guys were studs down there. So sometimes we moved Andre Rison out after week 8. We got rid of him.
The year you signed him?
Yeah, the year we signed him, we got rid of him.
Okay.
And Green Bay ended up signing him, and he ended up going to Green Bay and scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But that allowed Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardle and Willie Jackson and Willie Big Play Clay to Reggie Barlow to get there, chop down the big tree and let some of the little trees get a little sunlight. And they grew into football players.
Is there something to be said about what you can learn from somebody being ahead of you, though? Was Andre Rison kind of a teacher to them? Because
no.
Not at all?
No.
Not at all. They just already could play.
Listen,
and he was in the way.
Here's what Andre had. Andre had some style. Andre had some pizzazz. Andre had the credibility when he came into the thing. But Andre was an undisciplined player that didn't want to run his routes, just wanted to run what he wanted to run. So when the quarterback depended upon him to come back and be at a certain spot, he wasn't there. And that started causing some problems for Jacksonville. That's why they moved on from him.
Yeah.
But it was because of the development of the younger guys that allowed them to feel comfortable enough to move on from Andre Rison. Andre Rison's a great wide receiver. But Andre Rison did what Andre Rison wanted to do, and that became a problem.
You had to have a guy that was willing to
Well, you just have a guy that's got to be willing to play within the offense.
Yeah.
Can't go freelancing. Quarterback and you got to be on the same page. Freelancing a wide receiver is not a good thing.
No. That's when you see the pick just go straight into the DB's hands, and you're who are you throwing to there, bud? And that may not be on the quarterback.
And then they say, there's a miscommunication. But there wasn't really a miscommunication. There's just one guy doing his own thing. And that became a problem. But that's what you can have at the wide receiver position. You can have guys that are ready to spring, and then they're blocked. And, you know, hopefully the Bears get into that situation where the young guys are playing great and you got to think about other things. But right now, Caleb Williams got two legitimate wide receivers, period.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's
easily.
Got.
I just,
and if Romy slips down, then I think they take Odunze.
We're seeing some crazy stuff in the mock drafts now. I mean, I'm seeing neighbors might fall in this draft because people are going to go quarterback crazy. J.J. McCarthy's on the rise out here, Yerk.
Well, no,
people
got to
be
already
in on J.J. I mean,
I see that already. So your problem is your top three are going quarterback, right?
Top three are going quarterback, and you would assume assuming it's tough.
Now,
you would assume the Giants are probably going
right.
quarterback.
Minnesota needs quarterback. Denver needs quarterback. So now you've got two teams that are outside the top 10 looking to maneuver, trying to find a way to get into the top 10 so they can get a quarterback that they want.
Yeah.
And then that's only because they probably looked at Bo Nix and Penix and said, well, maybe they're not necessarily the answer, or maybe they would be more of a project than they would be a final product.
And it's, well, the toughest part with Penix is just health. You got to worry about him being able to stay. He wasn't able to stay on the field as much in college. I think, what was it? He had cracked ribs that last game. In the college football playoffs. Like he's been a guy who's been oft injured. So.
And Penix in his final game couldn't really get the ball to Romy Odunze where Romy could make the catch. He was open. Guys were open, but he struggled in that last game. But you can't judge off one game. You judge off a couple of years in his career.
I think the tough part
Thing with Bo Nix. Bo Nix looked terrible at the end.
Yeah.
But I watched Bo Nix play Washington twice, and that was a hell of a game. It was a hell of a
football game. Tough part about Penix is it's not that there's a lack of belief that he can't play. I think it's more of a lack of belief is he going to be able to stay healthy at this level? But I mean, Anthony Richardson went high, and he's had injury issues his football career, and you never know.
And I mean, it's 1 year; it was a couple of games, two, three games, and he was out already. So,
yeah. Well, I don't know.
They used to have Minshew there, but they don't have Minshew there anymore.
No Minshew there. I'm a Gardner guy. I'm not mad at it.
He went someplace and got paid.
He's in Oakland right now, or Vegas right now.
Vegas.
My brain's still on Oakland.
I'm still in San Diego. Yeah. You and I are in the same boat, my friend.
And we got Nick sticking around. Our guy Nick and Eric in the building.
Making things happen. They're the ones making the clouds move.
Oh, yeah. They make the weather happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Them and Tracy Butler. Shout out to all of them. Let me ask you this. I want to get your opinion because I haven't been able to talk to you since we've seen these changes come through. I got to get your thoughts on some of these rule changes that the NFL is making here.
All right, here you go. Hip drop. I agree with 100%.
That's interesting.
It's a terrible tackle. It was awful the way it was. Whenever it got introduced and you saw them sweep through the back of the legs of a player, you don't have to do that. When you do that intentionally. You do that for one reason only. It's not to bring the guy down. It's to hurt the guy. So I'm glad they eliminated it. It's gone. Go ahead.
See, Lance is on the other side of that.
Of course
he feels like it's not something that you do intentionally, but when you're trying to grab somebody from behind,
not true.
How are you going to pull them down?
Not true.
Yeah.
Get them down to the ground without firing your body and your legs in the back of his legs. Easy.
Is it?
It's not complicated at all.
See,
it's not difficult.
Right. I feel what's going to be tough about it is how they officiate.
Remember, you used to sit
there.
They literally grab the upper, the shoulder.
Horse collar, yes.
Not the horse collar. They just grab the shoulder.
Yeah.
They secure the shoulder, and then they fire their body through the back of their legs, and they think that's okay.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
That one, absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Instead of reaching for his upper body, dive and tackle him and get him down.
But I think what's tough is, a couple of the injuries that we saw this year, the quarterback that went down in college, I think, he ended up getting grabbed up. I want to say it was the linebacker, grabs him from behind and just drops his body weight. Doesn't go through the legs, but he ends up getting injured, a lower body injury. And now we're sitting here talking about that as a hip drop tackle. I think the part that scares a lot of people with it is how are the officials going to officiate it when they struggle officiating obvious
calls.
I'll
wait for the point of emphasis. When it comes out, they'll do two tackles and they'll show you which one's illegal and which one's legal.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's what you'll wait for.
Okay.
If the body doesn't go, if the tackler's body doesn't go through the other guy's body, he's on the side of him and he brings him down, then that's just the regular tackle. If he goes through the body and through the legs, then that's a hip drop tackle.
Right, exactly. And that's
I don't think it's complicated.
That's where – well, I think how the NFL – how it was presented out there, it was like – so if you grab a guy from behind and you try to tackle him, it's like, and? Yeah. what else you got? We're just supposed to let the guy go?
That's where a picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
That's where the picture and the video, and anytime they ever did any rules changes or points emphasis, they always came to camp, the referees, and they showed it to you.
Yeah.
And saying, this is illegal, that's still legal. So that's the difference. Now you know. Same way they did at the quarterback position where you couldn't hit below the waist anymore on the quarterback. They showed you illegal and they showed you what was still okay. So now you know.
But see,
and anybody can see it. It's a picture.
I think that's where it gets so tough, right? Because the hip drop is a clear one, right? When you go through the legs.
But
like the quarterback tackling, now it's like, all right, let me lay a pillow down for him real quick.
True.
Let me tuck him in.
They're the most important position on the field.
Yeah.
The quarterbacks are the marquee players in the league, whether anybody likes it or not. And that's me saying it, a journeyman. They are. And they're the ones that you want to protect. They're the ones that you want to see on the field because they're the ones that can influence games.
They're the ones that change an
entire season. That's why they started protecting them a long time ago. And, yeah, I mean, I love the picture of Mike Hartenstein destroying the quarterback, Joe Ferguson, up in Detroit. I love those pictures. I loved when they went after the guy with the L.A. Rams when they were here, and he sawed through him, and they picked it up, and they ran into the end zone. Those are great memories, fantastic memories. But that game is gone.
Yeah.
Your tough physical brand of football is gone. This is a cleaner version. Still violent.
Still violent.
I mean, people are here for the violence. People aren't here for the patty cake, baker's man. That's not what we're here for. We're still here for the violence, but it's not violence on the quarterback, and it's not cheap shots over receivers going over the middle.
Over the middle, yeah.
It's still good, hard football and good, hard tackling. Just take some of the stupid stuff out of there.
Do you feel like it has changed the fundamentals of the game? I remember Tom Brady talking about that, where it was like quarterbacks are just throwing anything up there now.
No, guys.
Because guys don't have to worry about getting sawed in half.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, you can go over the middle now without any fear. You can go over the middle and you can go up for a ball and not worry about getting your head taken off anymore. So that's happened. But, you know, the fundamentals, the getting off the line of scrimmage, getting in and out of a break, those fundamentals will never change. The ability to stay low and sit in a chair as an offensive lineman, the ability to work edges as a defensive lineman, those fundamentals don't change.
Yeah, no Gabe
Kareem out there. Some do, but a lot don't.
No Gabe Kareem's out there, please.
What about the kickoff return?
Oh, that's my favorite one here, Yerk. I wanted to wait on that one for you. What are your thoughts on the new XFL style?
So my thoughts were, if they wanted more kickoff returns, they take the kickoff line and go back to the 20. And now you guarantee yourself more kickoff returns. Period. That's it. Go back to the 20. But if this gets me more kickoff returns, I'm fine with it. Being a guy who had 10 returns for 135 yards.
Hey!
I'm a guy that is
on sides or straight up just catching them and taking off?
Squib kicks down the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Because Green Bay was such a dangerous team with Corey Harris and Robert Brooks back there. Teams did not want to kick our guys the ball.
Did you ever get one where you thought you were going to end up in the end zone?
17's my long. Never one that thought I was going to the end zone. 13.5-yard average.
You never had one of those bumbling, stumbling?
The great thing was when I got it usually past the 40. So if I can get it on a run going forward and I get a nice hop, I can catch it and I can just rumble forward and get it to the 40. And we should have won a game against the Minnesota Vikings up in Minnesota when I got the squib. I returned it. The first pass goes straight to Sterling Sharp and Sterling dropped it. And I saw Sterling only drop two balls in his career. And both of them were important occasions. One was against Chicago in 91 in Soldier Field, where he'd have put us in a position to get a first down. He dropped it, and the game was over. And then the other one was this one in Minnesota, where we could have been in field goal range with Chris Jackie with a chance to win the game for us. And he dropped it, and then it didn't make a difference. I would have been considered a hero.
You'd have been the hero in that game.
Because I got it far enough. I corralled it, and I got it far enough north. We only had about 38 seconds on the clock. We could have matriculated the ball down the field, kicked a game-winning field goal, left Minnesota with a victory. Instead, we leave with a loss again.
When you see Sterling, do you let him know?
Who? No. Sterling's a great player. Sterling belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's any gray area. I mean,
Sterling's
a Hall of Famer, period.
It
was him and Jerry Rice. They were the two receivers. One, Michael Irvin. Nobody's afraid of Michael Irvin. They're afraid of Sterling Sharp.
I think
Sterling was Sharp and Jerry Rice were the two dominant ones. Not Tim Brown.
Yeah.
Not touchdown Timmy Brown. It wasn't him. No. It was Sterling and Jerry.
Yeah.
Those were the two guys.
100%. Sterling was it's so crazy. You even hear Shannon say this. He's like, he's better. Like, I'm in the Hall of Fame, and he was better than me.
He was
that dominant.
Neck injury in 94, right before the playoffs started, sidelined him. And he had a Lloyd London's policy for a career-ending injury. And he had already known he had a neck problem
because
he had a strap that attached to his – he had a strap that attached to the back of his shoulder pads, and he had a button on top, and that strap buttoned up on top, and it made him keep his head back and didn't allow him to go forward.
Okay, so he couldn't lead with his head.
But that's exactly what happened. He caught the ball. He lowered himself, lowered his body. He got hit, felt the tingly thinglies.
Yeah.
And then that was it. It was over for him. He never played again.
Can you? I don't even know. Like, what's the minimum exception? Because how many years is Sterling? Sterling's 5 years, right?
No, I think Sterling played, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, we can look it up.
89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94. So I think he played longer than Terrell Davis.
It's so weird I feel like we don't even hear his name brought up.
I think he had a 7 year career, if I'm not mistaken.
7 year career.
How many yards? 94. How many yards?
8,134.
How many touchdowns?
Touchdowns, 65.
That's 9 touchdowns a year. Back in the day that they weren't chucking the ball up all over the field. So.
And can't get him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think he obviously belongs. I don't even think that's
it's not a question.
Yeah, that's not difficult. I mean, if Terrell Davis gets in because he got injured, well, I mean, what? Everybody forgot Sterling got injured.
I think that's my issue with it. It's almost like they've forgotten that Sterling existed. How Mongo was treated to me for years. It's like you kind of forget about it, and so then here's something happens where you go, "Oh my God,
everybody always considered Richard Dent. Not Richard Dent, Dan Hampton, the guy that was the better interior tackle of the two. But Dan kind of was slowed down by injuries, but Dan still ends up making the Hall of Fame because he was a dominant player at his position. His last couple of years with his back really kind of bothered and hurt his career. It did at the end of it when you're trying to amass some numbers. Also, his first couple of years in the league, they weren't keeping stats for sacks. So you don't know how many sacks he had.
Yeah.
I think same thing with Mongo a little bit because Mongo started in 79 and 80 also, and I think they didn't start keeping track to 82 or 83. So you had Richard Dent, who crystal clear was the best pass rusher on the Bears, was coming off the corner, caused the chaos, caused all the wajma. So they always ask the question, how can you have three guys from the same defensive line in the Hall of Fame if they only won one, you know, Super Bowl? And then Singletary got the gift of all gifts. Gift of all gifts. They elect him to the Hall of Fame because why? He was the third best talented linebacker on his team. Otis Wilson and Wilbur Marshall were much better than he was.
He was the voice.
But Singletary was the captain, and then Madden made him a hero because, you know, look at his eyes. Oh, look at his eyes. I went back and listened to a John Madden game. Everybody was enamored with. Boy, if he was on now, they'd chase him out. They chased him out of town with pitchforks and flames. Get out of here. We don't want to listen to you.
We had this conversation in the box yesterday, which was fun. Yerk, wish you could have been there, man.
Yeah.
Wish you could have made it.
Yeah. I got a little bit of a cold still. I wasn't going to come into work.
Yeah.
And then I sat with, partners again. Some of us have to entertain
Yerk goes our partners. Working man.
Billy Guidey from Cork and Kerry.
Hey.
Couple of our partners stuck around. They didn't go into the game, so I sat and chatted, and I wasn't going to be rude and say, hey, I've got to go to the park. I entertained some of our partners, which is what I do. I mean, it's
absolutely
what I want.
Love it.
I downloaded the ticket. It's on my it's here in my Apple wallet.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy thing called an Apple wallet.
Yeah,
I'm
not
familiar with it all, but they told me it's there, and so I go there, boom, Apple wallet, right? Cash, boom.
There's the
White
ticket.
Sox.
Look at that.
Right?
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Boom. That's it. March 28th, 2024. But I had to make a choice. Right? Choices need to be made sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, this is live fire. I'm under fire.
Yeah.
So I got to make a choice. What is the choice? The choice is to stay with partners.
I'm not mad at it.
Entertain partners, shake hands, smoke a cigar. Sometimes you got to throw yourself on the barbed wire. Could I went and enjoyed myself and watched the White Sox score zero runs? Sure. Sure, I could have done that. But I chose to be with partners because that's who I am. I'm a very giving man.
I don't even remember where I was going because of your partner speech. I don't even.
Well,
what was the last thing I said before we got there?
It would have been great to be up in the suite.
I heard that.
You.
I heard that. But I know I was saying something about. We were talking about this in the suite yesterday. What were we talking about?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. You guys stun me sometimes.
The partner threw me. I don't. Even Eric doesn't remember. Like I
did. Well, that's because I'm so wonderful.
Oh, well, until it hits me, how about we do this before we get you up out of here? Because you got a radio show to do. Do you when you look at the kickoff rule, because that's where we started all of this when you look at the kickoff rule, starting at the 35, the other team's at the 40, nobody can move until they touch the ball, adopting the XFL rule, do you think that it will be an entertaining brand of football, or are you like some out there who are like, all right, let's just get rid of the kickoff. Let's just start teams off
at the 30. I don't like that either. I like my idea going back to the 20. This is where they have screwed with the line of scrimmage now.
Yeah.
Because there was always a line of scrimmage. That 30 or 35, wherever you kick the ball from, was the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
And now they've eliminated the line of scrimmage on a particular play. For what reason, I don't know. But they have. If it leads to more returns, I'm happy.
Right. I think it will. You get penalized if you touch back, you start at the 30. If you kick it short of the 20, you start at the 40. So I think, like, you're going to kick the football to the returner, and now kickers may be more important because you got to be a lot more precise.
If I'm a kicker, I blast it through and say, start at the 30. What the hell do I care about 5 yards for? And that's what they might find.
Right.
If you start them at the 50, if they kick it through the end zone.
Right.
Now I think you got 30
doesn't change nothing for you.
5 yards? Yeah. Really? Oh, you're going to be 5 yards? I'd kick it into the stands every time.
Just through the goalpost just to show what kind of leg you've got.
Oh, they got 5 yards. Big deal.
Does this make Velus Jones important?
No.
Dang it.
Because 2 years, Velus Jones hasn't been important. So why would he become important now?
But now the biggest issue with Velus was trying to catch it as people are running at him. Now nobody's running at him while he's trying to catch it. Gets a little more time.
His biggest thing, too, was holding on to the football.
This is true.
Also. It wasn't just catching. It was also holding on to the football.
Yeah, well, I tried, baby.
Listen, nobody –
I tried.
I'm trying to go
– I think it helps him. I'm not going to lie.
I'm just looking at the family tree and wondering where exactly does he belong on Ryan Poles' family tree.
I've said –
Is he a distant cousin? Where is he?
I've said he's –
I've never
he's
seen
got,
somebody get two redshirt years, but he got them.
He's got naked pictures of somebody.
Absolutely.
He's got naked pictures of somebody. The run that he's been on where you're just like, what are we using you for? But didn't he get a healthy scratch 1 week?
Yeah.
It was a couple weeks there or something like that? Like healthy scratch?
Maybe he's a cover guy. I mean, I don't know what he does.
Trying to turn him into Cordero Patterson.
I have no idea. Velus Jones has been a disappointment.
Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. I tried, Velus. That's what we end on. Velus Jones has been a disappointment. Y'all stay safe out there. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. We'll be back Monday morning with Lance Briggs breaking down all the news over the weekend and anything that comes out for John Yurkovich. It's your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago Bear. Peace.